Jesse, Jalous, and Claire Burns are looking for love.
Jesse, Claire, you're beautiful, you're funny. How could you be single? And we said,
things are going well. It's going to be good. We're good?
No such thing as love.
Hello and welcome to No Such Thing as Love. I'm Claire Burns.
And I'm Jesse Jalous, and you're listening.
Happy time to exhale.
Wow.
Meaning the wedding is behind you.
I did it.
You did it. We went to LA this weekend for the big weekend and it went wonderfully.
Yes, it did. And I feel incredible and also exhausted.
Exhausted. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think beyond the trek to LA, the most important thing happened this week, and that is that I met Mr. Boyfriend. That's right, everybody. I did. He exists.
I know. It was so funny and
funny.
Cute to have you guys meet, because you have a lot in common.
Well, I know.
I was excited for that.
It was very fun. We had spent, this was before we went to LA, but we had spent the afternoon together prepping for LA.
Prepping, yeah.
And then he came over, and the cutest thing was that Jesse asked me, and I'm now speaking to the public, asked me to stay in the living room so that they could kiss at the door, and I wouldn't be there.
I get so stressed out about stuff like that. I really do. I so do.
You started getting nervous. You had said like he was nervous or whatever. And then you were totally fine until he was like en route.
And then until he was en route. Well, it's funny because the day before you were both texting me at the same time being like, where are we going? Like he was like,
I didn't ask you that.
Okay, he was like, do you have reservations? Where are we going? And I said, I don't make reservations at restaurants. I thought we'd just wing it. And then you were like, where are we eating? And I was like, wow, everybody's coming for me tonight. But then you
No,
did
I
make
just
the
said
decision.
You had to make the decision.
Right. And then I made you make the decision.
And then I made the decision less than 2 minutes after
which
that.
Is very me. But he very much wanted to get a drink with you before we got dinner. He was like, let's get drinks and then dinner. And I said, okay.
Which I don't hate. I think the problem was that I was still doing the detox.
Right.
I was still doing the detox and I was really wanting to jump off. So it was like,
Well, the other problem was we ate around 2:30
p.m. We certainly did have a very large, really late lunch. So that was tricky.
Yeah, because he came around like 6:30. So I was like, huh.
Not really starved right now.
But then, I was a little anxious right before. And then I thought like, I was like, will I be? Because I've made strides in my physical affection.
Yes, you have.
In public.
Yes,
then,
you have.
But then I was like, but that's when I don't know anybody.
Right.
So
let alone two very close people.
Exactly. So it's really different when it's that. And I mean, even when I was with his friends and I was, you know, just his lady friend at that point. But also was like, I don't know what to do. I wasn't, you know, like then it gets weird with that stuff. So I did notice I started to get in my head about that. And I was like, I want to give him some like a reassurance at
absolutely.
The beginning, but I don't want,
but you were so nervous about it. I could tell in your head, because here's the fun fact. He was very PDA and not very, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
He was much more handsy than I expected. And I think I could tell in your face that you were somewhat like, this is fine. This is not, you know, but
because
the biggest
the
biggest thing, well, like at dinner, he got very close and they were like holding hands at dinner.
We weren't holding hands. Everybody relaxed.
But you were holding hands on the way home and he kissed you as the three of us were walking home.
See, and that made me a little anxious because I was like, we're almost about. But, you know, I also said to myself, Claire would want me to do this.
I would. I absolutely would. I loved it because I knew how anxious you were about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was cute. So it was extra cute.
Extra cute.
It was extra cute. So, yes. So, my assessment is I really like him.
Yeah.
It was very fun. We had a very good, we just went to dinner finally after we gabbed for a while at home.
Gab.
My other favorite thing, yes, you have told us both that we have a lot in common.
Yes.
So on our way to dinner, you said, you both like Seinfeld. What's your favorite episode?
I did. I was like,
let's get this conversation going.
I know, how fun.
So it was so fun. And then I found myself starting to rag on him a little bit, which I think is a testament to how comfortable I felt and how much I like him. Like, you don't do that if you don't like someone. So
totally.
I did have fun with that because I realized how comfortable I was, and like, it was all, and you were not a different person with him. Yeah. That's always the fear of a friend, you know, meeting. I mean, I could tell you were nervous, but it wasn't like you were being weird.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Besides nervousness. But yeah, so it was a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to
I know
hang
he
out
really
again.
Liked you too.
Bless.
Thank God. Imagine he didn't.
Could you imagine? He'd be done.
No.
He'd done. Be done.
But I really, nobody cannot like Claire.
Bless.
You know?
Listen, if I want you to like me,
you'll freaking like me. Yeah. So, I mean, that was great. I felt really good about that.
Yeah.
You know,
that was fun. And honestly, it made me less, you know, because now he's a person to me as opposed to an idea. You know, I took a photo because I said proof, you know, like we have here. And then when you talk to him on the phone every day while we were traveling, I was less annoyed than I would have been. Somebody talked on the phone too with her boyfriend every day. You did.
I know.
And that's
He's a phone guy. And believe me, that always made me anxious and nervous.
Yeah.
I either was like, I have to tell him before that, like, I mean, it was already an emotional trip. But then I was like, I can talk for like 10 minutes.
Right.
Give him an update.
Right.
And then also let him know that, like, I mean, I just, yeah, all of that makes me really.
He wasn't expecting more than that by any means. But
no.
No. It was fine.
And it does. I do like someone who likes to check in, I think.
Of course. Oh, my gosh. Of course. Ask questions. See how you're doing.
Right.
That's the sweetest.
It is really sweet. So that's nice.
Very nice.
You know, in a way, it's like. Just like coming from emotions the whole trip.
Yeah.
That it
you
was
had a
like,
lot
was,
happening for 3 days.
It was hard to even check in because it's like I either was on a uphill stable time or, you know, like it was.
Right.
But so, yeah, you did. You did get to see
I
that.
I did.
And isn't
yes,
that
I got
fun?
To see that. So I'm expecting because you guys are going this weekend out of town. Yes. So I expect that we'll talk. We'll at least FaceTime once a day. Right.
Absolutely. We can. Actually,
but you just have to communicate. You just have to be able to text on the occasion.
Because you know what he said, which I am obsessed with? Because he's like, when we get whatever, he's like, we can just unplug. He like having
I love
like,
that.
Certain time. I know.
Except
for I will be texting you. Of course.
Thank
I
you
will.
Very much. Because it's Pride weekend. I'm going to be trying
Absolutely.
To do stuff. I'd like to be able to connect.
You can connect with me, babe.
Okay. Okay.
I'll be there.
I
will.
We don't want you to totally disappear. But I also don't want you to be on the phone when you're with them. But, you know, bathroom time
I think we said we're
going to
have, like, phone
like that.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
just times that you can check in. But
let's
then,
both
you know,
check our phone now. Yeah.
Yeah, because I will just check not even knowing what I'm checking.
No, I know. Just looking at it. Yeah.
I'll just check to check.
Well, that's exciting.
And then I don't even know the signal situation, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you'll be in
they
a
have to have Wi-Fi.
They're going to have Wi-Fi, I'm sure.
Well, the first night I'll definitely have signal.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
I love
but that'll
it.
Be
Anywho,
fun. That'll be fun.
That's most exciting. So obviously you're going this weekend. My Talkify date has rescheduled from today to tomorrow. So that's not too bad.
Not too bad. And you have Pride this weekend.
So We'll have lots of updates next week. The most exciting thing is Rachel.
Yay!
Rachel was so kind to come on. So we have a, just a lovely amount of information to share with you now.
Yeah.
That interview. Enjoy. I have never been more excited. Let me explain to you. My favorite person in the whole wide world, Rachel Lang, intuitive astrologer, and my favorite intuitive astrologer, because truly, your dream. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I never, Jesse has said before, like, oh, do you think she would come on the podcast? And I was like, oh, I feel like what an honor it would be. I simply can't. But I have to tell you, I don't think I've ever told you, or maybe I did years ago, but I credit you for helping me move forward in my life in many ways, but specifically when I was stuck in Nashville and I really wanted to move back to New York and I was really struggling. And one of my biggest concerns, just because of like my history, is that I was afraid that as soon as I moved to New York, my dad would die, because that's kind of what happened with my mom the first time. And I remember talking to you about that. And you said, if you don't go now, if you don't move on, you know, with your life and live your life, then you'll resent him for the rest of your life. And I was like, oh my God, that's, and like, he never asked for that. He never, whatever. And I was like, oh, she's given me freedom. And so I really, I still talk about that all the time, because I do think it was so important. So anywho, so thank you.
Rachel, with me, we had a session where, first of all, you picked up on my cat, Winnie, who was stressed out. And that's what we picked up on, because she was a little bit stressed.
Yes.
Because of my living situation. And I was saying to you, am I going to have to break my lease? And you said that like something was going to happen and it was just going to, like, I wouldn't have to worry about it, but it's just going to happen and unfold. And it did.
It just randomly unfolded.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I didn't have to break my lease. And it was like, I moved within the building and my landlord like helped me do that. And Winnie is so happy now.
Good. Yeah.
Anyway, all that, we just have to give our kudos and our props to you. So
thank you.
As obviously I give a very glowing yet limited bio of you. I don't know if you do a brief intro.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want me to do an intro? Do you want me to do an intro?
Well, you could just
intro?
Say, yeah, what you would prefer to be known as or whatever.
No, I think you did a great job. I mean, I think hearing success stories, hearing positive feedback is like the best way that, I mean, you're describing me better than I can describe myself, because I'm coming to myself with my own like set of, expectations and judgments.
Absolutely.
But I'll back up and say that, yeah, I am an intuitive astrologer. And I also wrote a book about magic called Modern Day Magic.
I have it sitting right over there.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been, teaching and writing and doing this work for since 2006 professionally. So a pretty long time. And I love it. And I especially love talking about love.
Look at that. She's a professional.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, I'm a Libra sun, and Libras tend to have, like, we don't always want to admit that we're as wired toward relationships as we are, but we are. And so I'm on a faculty, actually, of a certification program in relationships and astrology.
Wow. Look at that.
Too much. So, perfect. And Claire, I've known you for a really long time.
Yes.
And I've watched you embrace your path, like your path of love. And I think this show is part of that. And so it's really exciting to be here with you on this show. Because I think, like, I can't wait to talk about your Aries self.
Well, girl, absolutely. I'm like tearing up because it truly it's such, because I think it's been 12, if not 13 years, maybe.
I think so.
When we were both in Nashville. So yeah, it's what a difference it has been. I mean, just steady growth, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Just growing up, for sure. Well, yeah. Obviously, there's so many questions of the universe and also of our of love and relationships in general. But I'm happy for you to go ahead and talk about my Aries self, yes, if you would like.
Okay. All right. Well, I know your listeners are probably, they've been following you both and they've been following your ups and downs and all of your stories. So I can't wait to back up some of your experiences with, yes, your astrology. And I'll throw in some tidbits just for everybody to relate to in terms of what to look for in your own charts. So Claire, let's start with you.
Okay.
So I want to say, start off by saying that you have an Aries sun. Uh-huh. And for those who don't know anything about astrology, your astrology is so much more than your sun sign. There, yeah, are, at the time of your birth, all of the planets are in different places in the heavens, and all of those are reflected in your chart. Each one of those planets represents a different aspect of yourself. So they represent things like how you communicate, or how much freedom you need in a relationship, or how much of a codependent streak do you have? And where does that come from in your family of origin? Like, we can really get into the nitty gritty of what makes a person tick by looking at their birth chart. We can also, not a lot of people know this, I'm going to tell you, we can also see like what turns you on. So there's like, yeah. So there's like real sexual juicy stuff in a chart.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed.
Or what turns your partner on, which is might be different than what turns you on. And if you have sexual incompatibility, you can see that in your charts. And like, there are solutions for these things.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, it's all knowing and all telling.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't worry. I won't reveal too much about each one of you, like your sexual lives. And
we already revealed too
I'm
much
sure
about
it. Know.
Know it all.
Okay. So let's start with Aries. So Aries is the sign of the self. It's the selfish sign. And yes, a lot of times women in particular, or anyone who identifies as female or non-binary, like, we're not taught that it's okay to be selfish. We're taught that our lives have to revolve around everyone else because we live in a patriarchal culture. And so I think this is probably one of your bigger challenges is, you know, is really owning your independence. Yeah. And sometimes when we have that independent streak in our charts, we feel like we should be in a relationship, and it's like, well, I should want this, but because part of you is wired to be like independent, pioneering, like doing your own thing, having your own space, you're going to put up resistance in the path to love, just because like it's not going to love the way the culture wants us to have it in this like monogamous traditional context isn't for everybody. And for you, you know, yes, you can have it, like, absolutely, we all have choice, we all have free will, but your Aries sun keeps you holding some energy and freedom for yourself. Does that make sense to you?
I've been fighting a relationship forever. No, but the independent, it is much more comfortable almost just being by myself and independent than like the typical relationship, for sure.
And we can add to that Aries influence. Your Venus is an Aries. Venus is our relationship planet. She is the planet that relates to what we're attracted to, like physically attracted to. Sexual chemistry and sexual attraction are Mars. Venus is like, how do we flirt? Do I like what you're wearing? You know, can I imagine kissing you? That's Venus. And Venus in Aries, Aries is ruled by Mars. So it's that go-getter, fiery, feisty, independent is another word we use for Aries influence. And when Venus is in Aries, she has a little bit of a difficult time being in a traditional relationship where, like, you're taught that the guy has to pursue the girl, or the, you know, like that, like where all those messages don't apply to you. You are here to know what you want, to go after what you want. And this can be one really, when you embrace this, then you get relationships that are balanced, where someone sees you for who you are, and where someone really appreciates and values you enough to give you space to be yourself. And I will say that this is a relationship lifetime for you. Your North Node. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. The North Node is a destiny point. So it's what we're here to experience. And it's not what we're comfortable with. It's like the area beyond our comfort zone that feels really kind of threatening when we go toward it. Mm-hmm. And for you, that North Node placement is in Libra, which is the sign of partnership. And so what I see in your chart is the ability to really settle into a beautiful love relationship after complete self-acceptance, or even like semi-self-acceptance, and allowing yourself to be free to be who you are, and to attract from that point of self-acceptance and that point of self-love. And often North Node in Libra, it's like a relationship comes later in life. Mm-hmm. Once you've mastered that, you know, all of those Aries strengths that are innate, that are a part of who you are.
Yeah. Wow. It's we were just having a conversation about this, about how I'm still struggling with being comfortable and confident in who I am. Let alone, like, because I'm bi, and it's like I'm working through like what that means and everything. So yeah, so that rings very true.
And also, you were talking about like how you're trying to focus on like putting yourself first and taking care of your own needs before other people.
Yeah, which is a new thing for me entirely. So
And I would say that, you know, I think bisexuals, I'm a lesbian myself, and I think bisexuals have it a little bit more difficult. I'm not saying that, you know, that any of us who are queer, you know, or straight, we all have our own challenges and hills to climb up. Yes. But I think for those who are bisexual, it's almost like, you know, you have an expanded playing field for your love expression. And so, you know, those of us who have like a lane to stay in, it's like, okay, the lane is like there's a comfort zone here. Yeah. I can see that being like your acceptance of your sexuality, is right there in your chart, because, you know, we talked about your sun being in Aries, but it's also in the eighth house, which relates to our psychological selves, but the aspect of ourselves that we keep hidden. So sexuality falls into the eighth house. And that becomes a real focal point in life. Like pleasure and sex, and like allowing yourself to be a complete individual first before you open up into a relationship. Like, that is all a part of your path. And it's had a lot of pressure since 2019. Like, Pluto's been pressuring it, Saturn's been pressuring it. Like, you've had like all of these, like, you know, planet, outer planets saying, Claire, get serious. What do you want?
It started clicking in 19. It did.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Pluto transits, for anyone who is born on the cusp of Libra, Scorpio, oh my gosh, my brain. Libra, Scorpio, Taurus, Gemini, Aries, Aries, Taurus, all of the fixed sign, cardinal to fixed sign cusps. So, Aries to Taurus, Capricorn to Aquarius, Cancer to Leo, and Libra to Scorpio. All of you who are born on that cusp or within the last few days of that sign, the last 5 or 6 days of that sign, you've had a lot of pressure from Pluto. And Pluto invites us to own our power and to be absolutely expressive in the truest sense of ourselves. And so we have to kind of wrestle all of those past situations that force us to compromise. We have to stretch ourselves and grow and reach, like put up boundaries in relationships that aren't serving us. Like, it's like you go through a real sort of walking on coals kind of experience, yeah. Hot coals experience. But you're on the other side of it now. So a lot's going to open up for you, which is exciting.
That is so exciting. And also, yes, that all feels very true. You know, it just experiencing it, like you said, you're backing up like what we're essentially been talking about and struggling with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Jesse, were you gonna ask a question?
I love that. No, I wasn't.
Okay. I think Jesse's chomping at the bit.
Jesse, well, I think it's your turn, Jesse.
Ah! Okay.
Okay. So Jesse is you have a Virgo sun, and let me talk about the Virgo sun for a second.
Okay, great.
Because I personally think Virgo is one of the most misunderstood signs.
Thank you.
A lot of things that you read about Virgo sun signs, people are like, you're picky, you're too organized, you're uptight. Uptight, all of those things. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No Virgo I know is any of those things.
Thank you.
Organized, yes, like needing to create order in a chaotic world, yes, but not limited to those sort of cookie cutter definitions. Virgo is, you're going to love this. You're going to love this like reframe of your sign. So Virgo is actually the sign of the virgin. And in ancient times, the virgin was not she was not sexless. She was the one who was like sending the soldiers off to war and doing these rituals. And women had pretty much two paths, marriage, which means that they were property of their husbands, or this virginal path of dedicating their lives to the goddess, maintaining the sacred fires, participating in rituals, really dedicating her life to this world, to service and to ritual for a period of time. And then she was free. So women who followed this path, the virgins, actually had more choices and more freedom than other women of that time.
Wow.
So you carry all of that tradition within your sign, which is really being discerning. We could use critical in the sense of like a film critic. Like, you're able to spot what doesn't belong. Like, you can look at a picture and say like, oh, that's out of place, or this needs to be reframed in that way.
Yeah.
You can go into any space, any relationship, and spot what's problematic. Like, you're a problem solver.
Yes, I am.
And Virgo also is one of our earth signs, so it's very sensual. This is another thing a lot of people don't know about Virgo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Like, you gotta have things that feel good. And so this we're talking about this in terms of like the clothes you wear, in terms of the food you eat, in terms of like how someone looks, like when you're dating, how they look. Like if things are out of place, like you'll notice it on someone because you have this, you're wired to have that that very discriminating eye for details. Now there are other aspects of your, do you also have a Virgo moon?
I'm a double Virgo.
You are a double Virgo. You are. And you're actually born just a few hours before a new moon. And we call that the balsamic moon phase. Wow. So you're like, your moon gets like a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're born at the very end of a lunation cycle where it's like all of this energy is like ready for a new beginning, for change. And it's almost like, you know, if you think about like before you graduate or before you start a new job, you have that like flurry of activity of like, oh my God, I have to do this, this, and this. And I have to, your whole life is about being on the precipice of change of like, I would imagine that stress is actually a motivational force in your life. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
It makes sense to me.
Yes. And that's not to say that that it's unhealthy in any way. I think for you, it's like you've got this inner drive to create change.
Well, what's interesting?
Your life, in the world. Go ahead.
What's interesting is I was having stomach problems like a year or so ago, and I went to a doctor because I was like, what's going on? And then the doctor told me it was because of stress, and it kind of catapulted me into like a self-love discovery journey where I was just like, why am I hurting myself internally and like what's wrong? But I mean, that just spoke to me when you said stress kind of, it was the catalyst or the motivation for kind of taking that step.
And that, you know, that is the body part, Virgo rules the intestines.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm literally dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I hear this a lot from Virgos. Also our lovely Cancers, you know, tend to take everything in the stomach, but, like stress in the stomach, like get stomach aches and things, but I think that you know that self-nurturing, if that becomes like a regular everyday part of your life, then that's like then you can really use that the positive uplifting aspects of that Virgo balsamic moon to write amazing things. This is a writer's moon.
I am a writer.
A writer.
Yeah. It's so you have a writer's moon, writer's sun. I find Virgos need to use language in order to understand, to organize your own understanding of your life or the world.
Well, that's wild. Yeah, that's so crazy to hear. Yeah. Oh my God.
Now We have to talk about your Venus and your Mars for a moment. Mm-hmm. So just like Claire has an Aries sun, you have your Mars in Aries. And Mars is that motivational planet. It's also the planet that relates to chemistry attracted to. So it's like, what do we crave in a partner? What turns us on? And for Mars in Aries, there's a real drive. There's a real drive to be with someone who can keep up with you. And I'm talking about that in terms of like you've got a lot of energy. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, it does. Okay.
Yeah. Mars in Aries is no joke. It's in its own sign. It's very happy there. And your Mars is in a really friendly trine relationship with your Venus. So relationships, like, you don't want a lot of drama in relationships. Like, you want someone who can keep up with you, someone who keeps you on your toes. He's got to be really, or she, do you, it, who, which pronouns should I use for your partner?
For me, it is him.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure. So you want someone who challenges you just enough to keep things interesting, because you can get bored easily with all of that, what we call mutable energy in your chart. And then at the same time, there's got to be chemistry in your relationship, because that's something that you really need and that you should never talk yourself out of. I know a lot of people think they have to choose the stable partner, or, you know, who has a good job and who checks all the boxes, or the one who, you know, is wild and turns you on. But I think for you, you can have both, and you need both. Mm-hmm. You've got the Virgo stability, like the like desire for, you know, for like, we want to create a life together. You don't want to be taking care of someone, because that can be a Virgo tendency. And at the same time, that Mars and Aries says, like, you want there to be passion and attraction and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It 100% makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's so true. I think, recently I sort of realized how much I do need physical, like, kind of attention or whatever, just like in a relationship.
For anyone with Mars in Scorpio or Aries, physical intimacy, however it manifests, it doesn't just have to be sex. Physical intimacy is as necessary as food and drink. And sometimes, if you're not getting physical intimacy, then you can turn to food and drink to, like, kind of compensate.
I can.
It's a challenging one. I have my Mars in Scorpio, and so Mars rules both Aries and Scorpio by traditional rulership. And these are the signs where it really wants to fully express itself. And if we're not having intimacy in a relationship, that means exercise, that means, you know, sports, that can mean things like tantric practices, or like, you know, deep spiritual meditation. Like, there can be other ways of that energy expressing itself. And at the same time, if you are in a relationship and you're questioning, and you have these placements, and you're questioning, like, should I compromise this? The answer is no, it will never work. I mean, it will work if you find other ways to transmute it. But if you have the choice and you can make the choice, then choose what is most supportive of your needs.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's always so fascinating. It's like that moment of processing.
I know. I'm processing.
It's like, yes.
Your let's talk about your Venus for a second. So your Venus is in Leo. Venus, like I said, is the flirting planet. It's the planet of attraction. And here's something funny that you heard here first. People with Venus in Leo are, like, have to be physically attracted to their partners. I hear this a lot of times with clients with Venus in Leo, where they say, you know, I don't want to be shallow, but I want my partner to be really attractive, or I want my partner to look a certain way. And I always say to that our desires are never shallow, and that we want what we want. Our Venus wants what she wants. And the more we give ourselves permission to lean into our desires and lean into our wants, the more we can be a magnet for those experiences in our lives, for what we want in our lives. So You know, so it's and I think that Venus in Leo is breaking the idea of beauty standards according to culture, because there really is, like, Leo rules the heart. Yeah. So the kind of attraction that you're talking about is a soul level attraction. And it's really easy to, like, trivialize that and say that it's all about looks, but it's not. And so, you know, that there again, it's like, I think it's really easy for us who have learned how to suppress our wants, or how to, like, question our wants because they didn't quite fit within our family of origin or culture. And the more we lean into our wants, the more we're moving in the direction of our soul's desire. So there's a really higher calling with every one of the expressions of these planets. And that's what that is.
Wow.
Does it show the ruling of a tall bearded man?
I know. I'm like, mine is beards.
Yeah.
Is that in my set? Is that it? Yeah.
Chart.
It is?
Well, you know, so yeah. So if when you think about beards, beards are, like, you know, an example of masculinity, right?
Yeah.
They're like, mm-hmm. they're, I don't actually know what a beard is astrologically. Hang on one second.
That's interesting. I didn't know it could be something astrologically.
Have to look this up. I just so happen to
exciting.
Have. Yep. Everything is.
Because that's so me. I will say it's so me. It's got to be in my chart.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling, yeah. Beards are Taurus and Saturn. And that would be actually really complementary to Virgo. That the Taurus, Virgo, Earth signs, rather. Both really grounded in, like, the physical, sensual self. But your Saturn is very interesting. And I think this is what attracts you to the beard.
What is
that? Yeah. Your Saturn is in the sign of Sagittarius. And it's right there next to your rising sign. So Saturn is the first planet that rises in your chart. And so it's a big player in terms of how you see yourself and in terms of your attraction, how others experience you. So I would say that's a big factor that goes into attraction. And then I would also say, just like on a non-astrological level, that, you know, beards are representative of a man. Like, you think of a beard and you think of, like, yeah. You know, the brawny man, someone who's, like, tough and who's not afraid of, you know, like, picking you up and, you know, like, you
girl,
know,
girl, you got it.
She loves the pickup. She loves it.
Girl, you got it.
And that's very much of, like, an Aries Mars. Mars, like, that is a very, like, someone would reflect your partner, or someone you would be dating would be sort of an embodiment of this passion nature within you. And so I think the beard kind of fits within that.
It really
whole
does.
Mars persona.
It absolutely does.
It really does. Here's a quick question. Start dating a Scorpio.
Okay, I like a Scorpio Virgo combination.
Okay, I like to hear
that's
that.
The right statement.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. I like it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And when is the birthday in Scorpio?
November 1st.
Yep. So his sun would be right next to your Pluto in Scorpio. Okay. Which would be a lot of passion. Like, that's a very, it's like a transformational relationship, you know, this person is gonna, you know, change my life. Like, that kind of intensity.
Does
it feel that way? Does it feel that way?
I think so. I have trouble. I mean, I think so. Yeah.
It's going to be hard for her to admit to that.
Yeah.
So too.
Yeah, that's a big statement, you know.
They're exclusive. Yeah. They're boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah. There's all the
whole thing. Good.
So we're in like relationship territory.
Yeah.
Which is big, which is huge.
It is huge.
It's big. Yeah,
I know.
That's
and
great.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really glad that you said all the things that you said, because I do think that's true. I've been realizing more and more how important like physical is to me. And it always made me feel very like unusual or needy sometimes. But I also am like, it's just really true. I can't help it. Anyhow.
Well, you also blocked
I did block
part of you for so long. First, for so many other
absolutely.
Like insecurities and things pushed on you. So finally you're able to be more physical.
Yeah.
Earlier on, because I think before you were, but it
but it was also, I think, before I made it about them and I never put myself into account, you know?
Yeah.
And so now that I'm redirecting that, if you will, like I very much agree with what you said.
You need it, you love it, you
and it makes me feel good to hear that, though, because I told when I was sort of having a sexual like walkabout with myself, I said that it like quenched a hunger I had. I didn't know, you know, I could I could feed that.
That's
way
beautiful.
Thank you.
No, that's absolutely. That's really important. Your Venus is in the eighth house. So intimacy, deep connection, sex, deep connection through sex, like that, that's really an important feature in your chart.
Yeah.
Now I have to say, bring in a little bit about like what's coming down the road for you over the next couple of, like the next year and a half. So there's a way of advancing our charts called progressions. And this is a way that we see the, you know, it's like, it sort of moves your chart over time to represent where you are right now from the point of your birth. And one of the signatures that I notice in a lot of people who are getting married, having babies, like major personal life movements, moving in together, buying a house, like all of those kinds of milestones in our personal lives involve the moon and progressed Venus, or your natal, like the moon and Venus relate to both of those things. And your natal Venus is creeping up toward your natal moon. And this is like, this is just starting right now. Like it's a, like this just came
just
what
in.
We call with an orb, just in. Yeah.
Okay.
breaking news. It's breaking news. And it's exact in early 2024.
Okay.
And so I would say that we're not going to put any pressure on this relationship.
No pressure.
Thank you for that. I'm sure you saw I don't do very well with pressure.
Yep. No. You will overanalyze it with that Virgo moon.
Right. We got to be careful with that. It's like, it's, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I will say that there's a big experience of love that's getting ready, that's happening for you right now. And that's that you're moving toward, like, it's, if you can imagine like the climax of a rom-com, like you're like moving, you're inching toward there over the next, you know, almost two years, but really like a year, the next year is going to be a big movement toward that when it's exact.
Yeah.
And so however that looks, it doesn't have to be, it could be self-love. It could be a decision to, you know, to not be in a relationship. It could play out in any number of ways, but there's a huge heart opening, major shift that's getting ready to happen for you. And it's exciting. It's very exciting. Nothing to be afraid of. Just lean into it.
That's what I've been saying. I'm just jumping into this. Like, I'm jumping in. I'm not looking. Like, I'm just going.
But even if it's not with this relationship, there's still what
I was
heart
saying,
opening.
Yes. I've learned.
But also good with him.
Yeah. But I meant, yeah, I've been learning that it's like what I'm expecting is way bigger, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I think that.
What you know what's coming is way bigger. Not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So I think I could see that for me. Good for me in a rom-com.
Yeah.
Good for you. Obsessed.
Yeah. We could talk about that in your work too. I mean, like this is a, cause it's not always just personal, cause Venus is the ruler of your 10th house. So it might be that like you open yourself to love, this relationship or another relationship or no relationship transforms your heart. You write a memoir, it gets picked up. Like this could be like a snowball effect kind
Absolutely.
Of thing too.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, I think you're right.
Stay tuned.
I see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I know that I may not have that same situation where the love is coming, but if there's any sort of insight for the coming months and years.
Yeah. So Claire, I was going to talk about your progressions. So progressed Venus is, you know, it's predictive in that it doesn't like say, oh, this is going to happen. It shows a shift in your heart chakra, a shift in your ability to love and your preferences around love, all of those things.
Yeah.
And actually, Claire, yours is moving up to your natal Mars. So both of these are in Aries because you were born with Venus retrograde at the time of your birth. So now it's moving forward and it has some catching
Finally.
Up to do.
Finally.
Uh-huh.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. So there's like a real nice cluster here of Venus, Mars, and the South Node and your natal Sun all at the same point. Venus, your progressed Venus is right on your natal Sun this year. Like we are moving up in the next
Hello.
4 months. That's going to be exact. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. That is a very big, very big shift. And you'll feel that for, you know, for really into 2023 and then again in 2024, when your progressed Venus matches up with your progressed Mars. And that's like, you know, I would say be open to all of the ways in which relationships can happen for you. It might not be like a traditional monogamous thing. It Right. might be something where you're creating it, like you're creating the dynamics in the relationship that you want. Because there's a lot of power in this conjunction, in this like triple threat conjunction. So it's like things are getting ready to get really exciting for you. And I would imagine there's a buildup happening right now where you can feel it.
Yeah.
I'll also say that Venus rules your money house, your second house.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes.
I mean, both of you, your Venuses are related to your careers. So we can talk about love and we can talk about money shifts happening for you both.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Like where you've put in the hard work.
Yeah.
You've done it. You've done the self-discovery. You've done the therapy. You've done the podcast. You've done like all this buildup. You've sat down and you've like been at the writing table, all of these things. And so now it's almost like you're just like sitting here waiting for the clock to tick to the right time.
Okay. It feels like I'm very much sitting and waiting. I'm like, wait a minute. But yeah. We had talked about, because I had a session with you, I can't remember, a month ago or so, but we had talked about how, like, there could be something with money and in the love, erotic, sexual, something like there could be. And I talked about it a little bit before, like doing, you know, foot pictures or things like that. Yeah. Like having that association makes sense for me, mm-hmm. in addition to other job stuff. But I mean, like, in the meantime, I'm not going into porn, but I am just saying, right. like there's things adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, having those placements in the eighth house, having the ruler of your money house in your eighth house shows that money can be made in sex work or yeah. in death, like as a death doula or in psychology or any one of those eighth house things. But, you know, I've had the opportunity and pleasure to work with people who are in the sex industry. And I've noticed, or people who do tantra or other mm-hmm. kinds of sexual surrogacy or things like that. And eighth house, there's a lot of eighth house influence in those charts. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's like, the more we give ourselves permission to be ourselves and to move away from those unspoken rules of culture, the more we, and do your sexual walkabouts and all of those things that, mm-hmm. that I think we need to have to know who we are.
Yeah.
The more you create opportunities for yourself and you draw those opportunities to yourself, that's what Venus does. Venus is the magnetic attractor.
Ooh, she's a magnet.
Magnet.
Yep. yep.
Obsessed. Oh my gosh. I can't. Are there any other questions, Jesse? Because I know we have taken up so much.
I know.
Time
I'm
already.
In awe. I really
and
am.
I'm in awe.
I'm just like, it's like, and maybe this is my Virgo. I'm a little overwhelmed and stressed out, but.
In the best way,
but in a very good way. No, in a very good way. I'm excited for early 2024. I'll tell you that. But I'm excited for my upward trajectory. It's upward, Claire. You heard it.
Yes, it is.
I heard it. I'm excited for that because I've been feeling it. And I'll say that I'm glad it's also linked to money because I need that as well. And I feel like it's going to happen. I feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy and very overwhelmed. And that's why I'm a little quiet because I'm just thinking.
It's hard. Yeah. I'm like, I'm processing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Ugh. And I'll say too, just for every, like, just sort of a general thing, just for listeners mm-hmm. who are like, what about me? You know, I think if you were to prioritize just, if you're looking at relationships, if you were to prioritize just a few points to really familiarize yourself with in your own chart. Mm-hmm. I think it would be your sun and your moon, obviously your rising, but I think Venus, mm-hmm. Venus and Mars are both really important when we're talking about what we need in relationships, what we're attracted to in relationships, and how to have really healthy, balanced relationships. Even when we tend to crave, I mean, there are people who crave drama. There are people who mm-hmm. crave, like, you know, the ups and downs of, you know, those kinds of relationships that require some chat, like that are challenging. Mm-hmm. But if you have one of those Venus placements, or if you have those kinds of aspects in your chart, then you can figure out how to work with it so that you're not constantly repeating the same patterns over and over again that aren't healthy. Like, there are healthy expressions to every aspect of our charts. And compatibility is such a complex art.
Yeah. Right.
Don't read your sun sign. Don't read your sun sign and say, like, I'm an Aries, I shouldn't be with a Libra. I'm a Virgo, I shouldn't be with, you know, a Pisces. Like, that's a compatibility is such a nuanced thing, and there are so many different factors that go into what makes us click with somebody. So I think there's no such thing as an incompatible chart, or no such thing as incompatibility. There are trigger points, and once we know those trigger points, then we can figure out solutions for how to deal with those trigger points.
Yeah. I think that's so true.
Is that our new name? No such thing as incompatibility?
Absolutely.
Well, and also speaking of, if anyone's listening saying, what about me? Obviously.
Yes.
You have wonderful sessions. Mm-hmm. And so please, I'll, of course, link to your website so we can go. But what is your website now if anyone doesn't want to click through a link?
It's Rachel Lange Astrologer. So that's Astrologer. Rachel Lang, L-A-N-G, astrologer.com.
Perfect. Again,
I'll
link to it. But nonetheless, yeah. So not only individual sessions, you have so many things. Two things that I've done that I highly recommend is a magic class that was kind of goes with your book a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Very good. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And then also taken Astrology for Creatives, which you co-host.
Wow. I know. I love having you in that class.
I love it. I've hated it. I haven't been able to do my schedule now is different. I'm going to mm-hmm. message you about that. Like, I don't, can I like come in now?
We'll talk.
Because I know it's like later. Anywho, so both of those, I think the magic was just so fantastic because that really was so much about just getting like finding your power and using mm-hmm. your essence and spirit and everything. Of course, I'm giving a very layman mm-hmm. explanation. And then the Astrology for Creatives, I've learned so much about the different houses and the different, like so much more of the nitty gritty of astrology mm-hmm. And still learning it, but it's all so fascinating. And of course, it's just wonderful to be hearing you, listening to you always makes me happy for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, I love you too. I love your energy. I love your chemistry and I love the show. It's been fun getting a chance to be on with you today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel Lange, intuitive astrologer. I'll put all the info so you can go ahead and just get things scheduled. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Thank you. Did I fangirl out too much? I might have. I'm obsessed with Rachel. I love her.
You were ready to play and you you said, "Coach, put me in." And she said,
"Put me in.
I am the coach." And we both said, "I was like, what game is this?" But we were both on that field fighting.
Thank you. I love that metaphor. We really got there. We really did. I said, "Keep going."
No, but truly, we'll find- it's like, no, wow. You know?
There's just something. I mean, obviously, I talked about the thing with, you know, helping me know it's okay to move on to New York. Cause I essentially was living in Nashville waiting for my dad to die.
Yeah.
Like that's essentially what I was doing, which was not like I had my life on hold. So I really credit her for helping me just move forward and realize that like I'm hanging these insecurities and fears mm-hmm. on things that I have no control. No one has any control, but yeah. But also over the years, she's just been unbelievable.
She has such a calming voice.
It
doesn't even matter. Like, I'm like, she could really deliver some rough things. And I'd be like, absolutely. I trust you and I bet I'll be okay. Like, she's just so, she's such a wonderful, kind voice.
I know.
It's a gift.
And her, just her presence, her spirit is so just kind. Calming.
It really is. I know.
It's so wonderful.
Anyhow, I think we're both in a haze.
We're both in a haze and that's okay. That's okay.
What I'm hearing is you're going to create your own kind of relationship, Claire.
What's that going to be?
Don't put Claire in a box. I wouldn't.
Don't you dare.
I wouldn't dare.
But also,
who's
independent and who doesn't love a relationship?
We knew that, you know, and maybe
it's in my chart.
Yeah, you're right. It's like maybe this. Like we're pushing it too much. It's not right for everybody. I don't know.
It's not right for everybody.
I don't know who I think I am with that.
I know, right?
You're right.
But yeah, so many things she said with you.
Yeah,
it was too much.
Do you?
Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah, we'll have to. I'm gonna go back, listen through, take some diligent notes so that we can remember. But yeah, still processing. Love her. I've sent so many people to her over the years.
You yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really have.
I used to like pay half of it just to like Get
Come on, let me give you a free dose and then you'll be addicted, which I did, but I can't do that anymore. No. So I haven't done it the last couple friends, but you know, but I've had so many. I had one friend a couple weeks ago, a month ago, something, I can't remember. She was like, oh my God, my life has changed. I was like, I've told you for years. Will you do it? So anyway, so I highly recommend. She is a very busy lady. I know that. So if you schedule,
you got a book ahead.
It will be months, months before you're, but sometimes you can get an earlier one, like after a cancellation or something. Yeah. So I recommend, obviously, if it's not for you, it's not for you, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
But I love her. Okay. I can talk about her forever. So I'll move on. wrapping up. The question does still remain. Mm. Do we think that love is out there? I don't think we know.
But in 2024.
And maybe before.
And honestly, the whole way there.
The whole way there.
It's in the charts is all I'm saying.
It's in the charts. I got 4 months and you got till 2024.
I'm on an uphill. I'm on an uphill. Okay?
It's good.
I'm on an uphill.
It's very good.